whether you're building a brand or you lost 5 pounds and you're so proud of that 5 pounds, it's like, no matter how small or big the accomplishments are, it's like recognizing that and celebrating that.
This is the Pursuit of Wellness podcast, and I'm your host, Mari Llewellyn. Hi guys, welcome back to the Pursuit of Wellness podcast. This is Mari, your host, and today we're talking to someone that I have been a huge fan of since my fitness journey back in 2017. This was the first fitness influencer I ever followed, so this was a big deal for me. Her name is Buff Bunny, aka Heidi Summers. I've always known her as Buff Bunny. She is absolutely incredible. She is the founder and CEO of the Buff Bunny Collection, which is a super cute activewear line. She's also a creator and an OG in the fitness industry. I was such a big fan. I literally wouldn't miss one of her vlogs, one of her meal prep videos, any of her workouts. I emulated her so much and she taught me so much. This conversation was amazing. She went so in depth about her journey as an entrepreneur, as a creator, about her fitness journey. I even got to go work out with her afterwards at Alpha Elite Gym, and it was such a cool experience. I was pinching myself. Young Mari would be shocked. It was amazing. Today, we talk about her business advice for women who want to start their own brand, her story growing up in Alaska and moving to Texas, her journey with fitness and losing 30 pounds, starting her social media journey, and navigating contracts and negativity in the industry. This is such a great conversation, guys. I also spoke with her now husband, Christian Guzman, who is the founder of Alpha Elite and has done so many amazing things as well. So make sure you check that out in a couple weeks. Also, a little bit of bloom news. Our strawberry kiwi greens are officially restocking at Target. This is a fan favorite flavor. It's my personal favorite. I feel like we really outdid ourselves with this one. So make sure you run and grab it. Without further ado, let's hop into this conversation with Heidi. Heidi Summers, welcome to the Pursuit of Wellness.
Thank you for having me.
I am internally like losing my mind. Guys, you were the first influencer I ever followed. Truly.
Wow. That
when
is
I
wild.
First lost weight, I became obsessed with bodybuilding. And I found you, I think you were doing a bikini prep. That's it was a, like 2017, 2016 era. You were in San Antonio. The meal prep videos, you were like selling Buff Bunny out of your house.
Yes. Yeah. I remember those days. Oh, the bikini competition days. Did you ever do a bikini competition?
I like thought that I was going to, and then I never did.
Honestly, it's probably because you didn't.
But I acted like I was. But like, it was a really cool thing to watch. It was very inspiring and motivational. And I think it taught me a ton about fitness. Because if you aspire to be a bikini competitor, you just end up learning a ton about nutrition and weightlifting.
Yes.
But you were a pioneer for me, and I think for a lot of women in the fitness industry, because I think back then, that was the era of like sponsorships. Like everyone was signing with, you know, various clothing companies and supplement companies, mm-hmm. and you were like doing your own thing and creating a brand outside of yourself. And kind of like doing it your way. You didn't move to LA. You stayed in Texas. You had your own path. And it was super inspiring for me from a business perspective. So I just want to say like you were an icon to me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I mean, congrats on everything you've done. It's been so cool to just see you flourishing. I know we have like a lot of mutual friends that we've kind of talked about. And two of my business partner actually like love you. They're like, she is just doing it. She's like her podcast, her companies, like her overall, just your overall like brand of yourself is just really inspiring.
Thank you.
So thank I love you. Seeing this woman empowerment together.
I know.
I'm just excited like, you're a Texas girl now.
Oh, so exciting. So excited. Everyone has been so welcoming. And I also love that you and I have kind of been like, silently like cheering each other on this whole time.
Yeah.
I really love seeing other women in this space just like dominate. It's the
Me
coolest
too.
Thing ever. And what you've built with Buff Bunny is like, it's crazy to see how far it's come and the impact that you've had on the apparel industry.
Thank you. It's cool that you've seen it from the start too. Just, you know, when I used to pack orders in my living room and I was just looking at some clips the other day and I was like, I can't believe my house was a fulfillment center at one point.
But how cool that you documented that and you could look back on that. It was so inspiring. And I think it gave me this spark of like, oh, Heidi did it. Like, I could do it, you know? And I started shipping bands out of my attic too. Like,
that is so cool.
It really is this just start mentality. And I loved that you documented it and showed it from the conception point.
Yeah. I definitely didn't have my shit together. Oh, can I say that?
You can say shit. We say shit.
Like, can we say shit on here?
We can say shit. You can say whatever you want on the pursuit of wellness.
Amazing. Well, I didn't have my shit together. That's for sure. But I think back then I was just so passionate just about working with women and just giving women a product that I would be really proud of and that I would love to see other women use during their journey. And also, it's like I was so focused on creating a perfect product that, you know, my LLC, I actually didn't have an LLC until I think it was a year into the business. So when I say I didn't have my shit together, I really was missing a lot of things back then. But I had an amazing product and I figured out how to put a website together, Shopify, and do the things. And I'm really happy that I documented back then. But to be honest, I wish I would have documented more.
Really?
I think back then I was like, oh, people don't care about business. They just want to see my meal prep and my workouts and things like that. And, you know, back then, whenever I would include some of the business stuff, like people were interested, but only a little bit, right? Mm. They were like, oh, that's cool, but we want to see your workouts. Like, we want to see what you're eating and we want to see what supplements you're taking. And so I really try to make my content focused on that, but putting in like little pieces.
Yeah.
But man, I wish I would have documented more.
But it is like when I get asked for business advice, I always say just start. And having that moment of looking back and being like, oh my gosh, I didn't have my shit together. I didn't have an LLC. I look back on our packaging and I'm like, what the hell were we doing? But you need to like that. You should feel that way.
Yes.
Otherwise, you wait too long for it to be perfect.
Exactly. Exactly. And like, you're going to go through phases where you end up switching your packaging. I think we've done that like 3 times where, you know, every few years you want to elevate it a little bit more or like, hey, like, let's move in this direction or let's simplify this. Let's change the font, like little tweaks that you can do to just make the brand better. But that's probably the best business advice because I say the same thing. I say, just start. Like, oh, I'm like, just start.
It's a lot of talk.
Yeah. Because I had a friend actually, LiFit. I worked with them for a while and love them. Such a great guy that owns it. He started just by selling t-shirts out of the trunk of his car. And I was like, man, if he can sell out of the trunk of his car, I can sell a few things on a website. So it's crazy how one person, like they might not think anything of it. There's like, you know, I was selling out of the back of my car and I got to see like a few behind the scenes of how they did their apparel. And I was like, okay, I want to do my own thing, but you know, make it me. And him just saying, I sold out the trunk of my car was so inspiring to me.
And you were that for me.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, you were that for me. And now
it's a domino effect.
It's crazy. Yeah. And now we're here on this podcast, like 7 years later.
That is wild.
I want to go back. Okay. For anyone who doesn't know you, you have a very interesting story. I'd love to hear about your childhood in Alaska.
Oh, man. Well, I grew up in a really small town, North Pole, Alaska. It's like right smack dab in the middle of Alaska. And it's very isolated from everyone. I was homeschooled with my 5 siblings. So when I say isolated, I mean, we were just like in the sticks in the middle of the woods. And we were about, 5-6 miles away from the city, which is like 2,000 people. It's not very big. I say city, there's like a gas station, a McDonald's, a Safeway grocery store. There's not much there. So yeah, growing up, you know, really cold, really isolated, and I was homeschooled. I definitely was very socially awkward, so I still get shy at times. So actually, I'm kind of nervous on this podcast right now.
That's so wild because you would never think that. And Christian said the same thing.
Yeah, he's definitely, I would say I'm more extroverted than him.
Wow.
And so us being together, it's just funny because we're both more, I would say introvert. He's very introvert. I'm like introvert, extrovert. Like I love being able to talk with other like woman like you. I'm like, this is like my favorite. But anything with public speaking, I mean, I'm like, I clam up, get really hot and sweaty, and I completely blank out.
But did you feel like with a vlog camera by yourself, you could like open up?
Yes, because I felt like, you know, you're just talking to one person versus like, I'd never think, oh, I'm speaking to hundreds of thousands or millions of people. I never think that. I'm like, I'm just talking to a friend right now.
Yeah, But that's the secret sauce, because then you end up oversharing and then people relate to everything you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. It's like you can't overthink it.
Yeah.
That's why I like podcasts, because I'll get a little nervous, but then it's more just us chatting and talking.
100%.
But if there was like a ton of people like behind you, I'd be like,
oh my God, imagine doing a live podcast. No, I talk on this microphone as if no one's here. And then my dad calls me and he's like, why'd you say that about me? And I'm like, oh, hi, Dad.
You forget, right? Yeah, that's like my mom actually didn't realize, because I grew up very sheltered, right? She didn't realize that I drank alcohol until she watched a YouTube Q&A. And she's like, you mentioned that you drink whiskey. And I was like, yeah, I love whiskey.
You love whiskey. I was going to bring you whiskey today. I should have. But we need to work out, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll work out. We'll do it another time, because you're in Texas now. So I'm expecting you to come to Houston.
Okay. I'm in my gin martini era right now.
Gin martini? What's a gin martini?
I guess just a martini with gin. I'm acting like I know. I have no idea.
Gin martini. I don't think I've ever had gin.
With olive juice. Oof. I know you're a whiskey gal.
Yeah, but I'll try a gin martini.
Next time we get together, we're drinking.
Okay, I'll give you my favorite whiskey, and then yes, you give me your favorite gin martini.
This sounds like a YouTube video.
Yeah, like a tipsy Q&A.
Okay, I went on a tangent.
We're health and wellness, but we'll take a shot or two.
Yeah, we'll have a little fun. I feel like cereal is one of those comfort foods or snacks that we all love from childhood, but so many of them are not the healthiest, and that's where I found Magic Spoon. I absolutely love Magic Spoon. I think it's so freaking delicious. They have a variety pack of flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. What I love more is the fact that they have 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, which is amazing, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, only 140 calories per serving. So I love the fact that it's high protein, a great snack to keep you full, 0 grams of sugar. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. I really love the cocoa. I actually have it after dinner sometimes as my little like fun dessert, and it really is so good. I have it with coconut milk, and it really satisfies my cravings, but I feel like I'm doing something good for my body as well. Go to magicspoon.com/pursuit to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code PURSUIT, PURSUIT, at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, go to magicspoon.com/pursuit and use code PURSUIT to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. This episode is brought to you by 8Sleep. Greg and I have truly hacked our sleep routine at this point, to the point where we're having the best night's sleep possible. We are in bed by 8:30. We have red light lamps, blue light glasses, and something that has really made all the difference is our 8Sleep pod cover. Guys, this is the most amazing thing ever. I think I've spoken about it before on the podcast. Basically, it's a temperature controlled cover to where you can cool your bed down. Greg and I like to sleep really, really cool. I feel like it sounds funny, but having the bed and the room be colder really helps you get a much better sleep. We like to keep the room at 68, and Greg and I both turn our mattresses on so you can actually control both sides depending on what each partner wants. And we like to keep it cold. It prevents night sweats and tossing and turning. And I feel like overall, we've just had such better sleep. Sleep science shows that in order to sleep our best, our body temperature needs to drop in the early and middle part of the night and rise in the morning. The pod will improve your sleep by automatically adjusting your bed's temperature based on your personalized sleep stages throughout the night. It can be added to any bed like a fitted sheet and allows you and your partner to cool down or warm up your side of the bed as low as 55 degrees and up to 110. In addition to keeping you at the perfect temperature all night, the pod also tracks your sleep and health metrics. I really feel like this has made such the difference to me and Greg's sleep routine, and therefore we have the most amazing energy throughout the day and overall better mental health and just feeling good. On average, pod users see their sleep quality improve by 32% after just 1 month on the pod. Go to 8sleep.com/pow to save $200 off the pod by 8Sleep. That's 8sleep.com/pow. 8Sleep currently ships within the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, and select countries in Europe. So So growing up that sheltered, how do you think that shaped who you are now?
You know, I think being homeschooled, you know, you get really close with your siblings. So my siblings are like my best friends. Like, you know, if I had a bridal party, it would be like all my sisters, and there's five of them. So Christian was like, I don't think I have five really close friends. And I was like, yeah, we won't do a bridal party, but I would need at least five because my sisters are like my ride or die. But I think being homeschooled is really cool because you get really close to your siblings because that's all you have to talk to.
Yeah.
But I did go to public school when I was 15. And it was funny because when the movie Mean Girls came out and she ate lunch in the bathroom, that was totally me. So I did that because I was so shy. I remember going out to the lunch area and I was too shy to like sit next to anyone because the tables are close. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can go to like an empty table. You're like right on top of each other. So I was too shy to sit next to anyone. So I just ate my lunch in the bathroom. Then I got so nervous that I actually got anxiety. And I realized that it can break a fever. I think it's like, it can cause you to get a fever if you have really high anxiety.
Wow.
So I went to the nurse's office because I was like, I'm not feeling good. And they knew that I was like homeschooled and new. And they were like, are you nervous? I was like, yeah. They're like, we're just going to send you home the first day.
They sent you home. Interesting.
They sent me home the first day. They were like, you got a taste of it like halfway through the day. So let's just go home and like take a breather. But
yeah,
I loved going to public school. Like I think I just needed it just to get that social interaction. And because going in, I was like, man, I'm going to be so far behind because, you know, I don't know. I was like homeschooled. What if I didn't learn a certain thing or two? But they actually put me in like AP English and they wanted to put me in a few other advanced classes, and I was like shocked because I thought I was going to be so far behind, but
you're actually excelling.
I was excelling, which gave me a little bit of a confidence boost. But I think being homeschooled and, you know, being around my siblings, you know, I looked up to my three older siblings. It caused me to mature a little bit. Mm-hmm. So when I did go to public school, I feel like I made a lot of decisions because I was a little bit older. I made really good decisions. Like, I'm really proud of how I was in high school because, you know, I was really involved in school. I made sure that, you know, get good grades. And my friends that were, like, out partying, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to party. Sorry, Mom. but I was too scared to drink. I was really nervous. Like, yeah. I didn't want to get in trouble. But I remember, like, a girl, I think it was, like, the first week, she was like, I like your sweater. And I was like, thank you. And I didn't know how to respond back because I was so awkward. I was like, do I say I like her sweater back? I just didn't know how to like.
Wow, it really is giving Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was so when Mean Girls came out, I was like already. I think I already graduated high school, but I was like, or when was that? I think it was around the same time. And all my friends laughed. They're like, "That's you," but then I never became part of the cool girls.
That's so crazy to think about. I was a loser in high school.
Were you really?
I was very shy because I had moved from the UK.
We would have been besties.
I was sitting behind the vending machine if you wanted to find me. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I think I did that a time or two too. But honestly, it's because they had the sour cheddar ruffle potato chips and those were my favorite.
Oh my gosh. I used to eat the like barbecue kettle. I forget the name.
Oh, I know that. I know. The
you know the ones.
Kettle one. That's a vodka. The kettle chips. Yeah. Okay, so you were shy in high school too.
Because I had moved from the UK and it took me so long to like figure out American culture. I just felt so weird.
Oh, do you have any examples? I'd love to hear these because I have some too.
I have one. So when I moved in fifth grade, my first day, I needed an eraser.
Yeah.
In England, we call it a rubber. And I asked the boy next to me if I could borrow a rubber. And when I tell you the whole room,
I'm sorry, that
the
is
whole
hilarious.
Room exploded.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, I was like, what?
You don't understand, like, right? You're like, yeah. I just need an eraser, but you're thinking, yeah. It's just a rubber.
100%. So that was one that made me feel super weird. Calling the trash can a rubbish bin was another one. Just like, it's actually shocking how different the culture is.
It is. Yeah. Yes. When I go to the UK, I'm like blown away by some of the things that y'all call things. And
yep.
It throws me off too. Like I feel silly. I'm like, what? Like go. What do you call the bathroom?
The loo.
The loo. Yeah.
The loo.
It's so cute.
I know.
The rubbish.
It just made me not want to like open my mouth. Mm-hmm. You know.
I could see that being really nervous because you might say something where you feel silly, right?
Yeah.
I remember being on the bus, and again, I was homeschooled, so like it's like I knew the culture, but I didn't understand
interactions,
I guess.
Yeah.
And growing up, I would garden with my mom. And I remember, like, you know, we would pull pull the weeds out every day. Like, we would throw away the weeds. Weed is not good.
Wait, I feel like I know where you're going with this.
And so the kids on the bus are talking about smoking weed. And I'm like, that is so weird. I was like, they're smoking the weeds. And I mentioned something. I was like, my mom has so much weed. Like, we literally pulled that out of the garden. And they thought it was hilarious. But I didn't really understand. Yeah. I thought they were crazy because I was like, you know, my parents, they were like, you know, when you go to public school, there's going to be all these like bad kids and this and that. And there they are talking about like smoking the weed from my mom's car. I just thought it was so bizarre, so wild.
That's insane.
Or they'd say stuff like, you know, the slang when people are like, I don't know if they still use it, but you'd say, oh, like, do you want some of the sandwich? You'd be like, no, I'm straight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there, I think I offered some of my favorite chips, my cheddar ones. I was like, would you like some chips? He's like, I'm straight. And I was like, me too. It's just like you don't understand like the lingo. No. That's what it is, like, you know, kid lingo. I mean,
the lingo now.
I'm so behind.
I'm trying to keep up. I just learned 4+4. If someone comments on your photo 4+4, what would you think it meant?
8.
You ate.
Oh my gosh. You really ate that. That's hilarious. That is good.
That's good, right? But
it's real creative. People get really creative.
No, they're so smart. Now I actually can't keep up. The TikTok, they're smart but scary.
Yeah.
Because they will bully you.
Oh, they will. TikTok is wild.
Okay, back to your story though. We're going on a tangent.
Oh, no, there's just instances like that. I think one time when, you know how they give you a counselor?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I went in, it was, you know, they were going to give me, you know, all my classes and everything. And I remember the counselor was like, okay. And like, oh no, it was the lady that the principal? I think she was like, okay, great. And like, you know, this is your counselor. And I was like, I was homeschooled. I don't need a counselor. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, I was thinking it was like therapy. So I totally relate in that aspect where you almost like don't want to talk because you're like, oh, I'm going to fumble again. Because mm-hmm. then everyone starts laughing, which now I'm like, I laugh about it. But in the moment, you feel stupid.
Yeah.
You're like, what? I don't want to say anything. I don't want to mess anything up.
What ultimately made you take the leap from Alaska to the lower 48? I know the lingo. I listen
to you. Look at you knowing the lingo.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like it would be a big choice, no? Like, do a lot of people leave or you are one of the only few?
A lot of people don't end up leaving. And I think it's mainly because Alaskans, it's like it is its own culture. It's like, it's part of the U.S., but we're known for just being, we're our own thing. We're so isolated and just like away from everything.
Mm.
And you really have to, you know, there's the lower 48, there's a whole other country, and then there's Alaska. So it really is like its own little country. And when Christian went, he was like, this is like so different from anywhere I've ever been. So I had friends that, I think a few that would kind of make their way to the lower 48 and then they would end up coming back because they were like, it's so different. It's hard to adjust. It's hard to be able to afford living, like especially in California, because like they would kind of go to California like sunshine,
mm-hmm.
especially being somewhere where it's so cold. And they just ended up coming back. And sometimes just like, it's a beautiful place. Like, there's no other place in the world that I think is more beautiful than Alaska. It's just striking. And it's, you don't feel like it's real. Every time I go back, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I grew up here. This is just beautiful. But in high school, you know, I wanted, at the time, I was like, okay, I want to get my biology degree and I want to be a doctor at the time. I definitely am not a doctor and I did not get that far, but that was my goal at the time. So I knew that I would need to go to lower 48 to go to school and then also go to med school. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to prepare myself a little bit. I knew that how hard high school was, like kind of adjusting and figuring that out. I didn't want to figure that out in med school. I was like, I need to go to a normal university, kind of get my feel for it, and then go to med school. So I knew that was the goal eventually. But I started going to school in Alaska. And I remember I just had this really rough time. It was like I was cheated on. I crashed my car, lost my job. And I was just like feeling so just, what is it, like broken,
defeated.
I guess? Defeated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just feel like numb. Like you just, it's just one thing after the other. It's like, I feel like one thing is kind of traumatic, but having like three different things that are just a lot, I just felt like, I was like, okay, I need a restart. And not that I was running from it. I was like, you know what? It's now or never. I should just go. There's nothing holding me back here. I was like, you know, the ex, bye. Like the car, it's done for, you know? So it's like, I guess I saw the positive where it's like, I don't have a guy holding me here. I don't have a car. So it's not like I can get around much. And I don't have really a job right now. So I had three other jobs though. So that was good. Or two other jobs at the time. So I just.
You worked so much. Every time I hear you talk about that, you had like all these jobs.
Yeah, I always loved working, but I always found a way to make the most money out of each job instead of having like one full-time job. Mm. And I enjoyed what I did because I would make coffee for people. They switched owners, so they kind of let a few people go. But that didn't make it easier, you know? So I ended up getting a different job along with the other three jobs that I had. So I had four total at the time because I was saving up money anyway because for college is so expensive. Mm-hmm. And I was paying all of my school out of pocket. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just, I didn't want to take out any loans because it scared me to take out loans. I was like, oof, even now still, I'm still very much like that.
Yeah, me too.
Creature of habit. You are too? Mm-hmm. Okay. I saved up a ton of money working four jobs. I was a coffee barista. I can make a mean latte.
And
a milkshake. I'm really good at milkshakes. So people would come just for my milkshakes because I was so good at it.
You were like known for the milkshake.
I was known for they would see my car and be like, milkshake. But yeah, I worked as a barista and then I worked construction. So I drove a Bobcat and I moved dirt around for
Heidi, this is so crazy.
Yeah, it was a shitty job. I'll say that we moved dirt around to install septic systems for houses. So I literally worked for shit. Yeah,
love.
They put me on one house that it was like a septic system blew up. So you're walking on dirt and you're like, my hand. And I was like, I don't think.
So you went from like walking on shit to building a fitness empire.
Yeah.
Like it's so wild.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's wild.
Where do you think this like tenacity and work ethic came from for you?
I think just growing up in with my parents, you know, they had five or six kids total. And so, you know, I didn't come from a very wealthy family. And I mean, my family wasn't, you know, living quite paycheck to paycheck by any means, but you know, my mom was, you know, we were always, she was always kind of like, if you want something, you have to work for it. You can't just expect it. So I really appreciate that my parents, you know, when we turned 16, you know, some people got a car, even if it wasn't like a brand new car, you know, the parents sometimes would give the kids a car, but my parents were like, nah, figure it out on your own. And I was like, okay. So it caused me to be a little bit more creative, yeah. You know, so I was like, I'll just drive the family van, get a job and like work around it. And I think just the fear of, you know, if something happens, you know, if something happens to me or like a family member, I don't have anything to fall back on. Mm-hmm. So I think that would kind of push me. I don't know if that's like a healthy way to to do it, but.
No, I appreciate the honesty. And I think I'm kind of the same way. It's a little bit of fear motivation in there. Obviously, yes. We're like, we want to be successful and we look forward to that. But for me, it's a little bit like not wanting to slip backwards and knowing that I don't have a safety net.
Yeah, I think it's. I have some friends where, you know, they feel the same way where we're trying to build the most that we can. And it's like, it's not the money that motivates us. It's usually like the passion of what we do. Mm-hmm. And then of wanting to make sure that it's successful. Sometimes it is the fear of we don't have anything to fall back on. You know, it's like, I didn't come from, I guess, was it the silver spoon or anything like that? So it's like, I love being able to provide for myself and then for my family, you know, my husband, he's fine, but like
the husband,
you know, the husband, being able to provide for myself, my family, my future kids. And then also, you know, I have a lot of siblings and my parents, things like that. If something were to happen and, you know, some things have happened in the past where like, I'm glad that I'm able to step in and help any way that I can, whether it's my time or help with finances or anything that I can to just be there. So I think it's definitely fear that motivates me.
Spring is here and I'm so excited that I'm resetting my kitchen for spring with Caraway's non-toxic cookware. It's the perfect way to start off spring cleaning and resetting.
I have been baking a ton lately. Cakes, sourdough, vegetables, whatever it may be. Just really having fun in the kitchen. And I love using my Caraway bakeware set. Lately, I've been doing this like tray of Brussels sprouts, carrots, parsnips. And I use my sage green cookware from Caraway. And it looks so cute for a photo afterwards. And I just love the fact that it's non-toxic. I talk a lot about the fact that I avoid cooking with toxic products because it will leak into your food. Caraway products are made without any toxic materials. There's no PFAs, PTFEs, or PFOAs, or any other hard to pronounce chemicals. I also love the fact that all the sets come equipped with complimentary easy access storage solutions to keep the kitchen tidy. And the ceramic's naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter for easy slide off and easy cleaning. Over 65,000 people have rated Caraway over 5 stars. Now it's time to try it yourself. You can visit carawayhome.com/pursuit to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/pursuit or use code pursuit at checkout. Caraway non-toxic cookware made modern.
I think that's the beautiful part that comes with, because it is a weird thing to wrap your head around, the financial success that comes with when you're just chasing your passion and it ends up becoming this like massive business and you have financial success. It's almost like difficult to catch up with yourself and your own reality.
Yeah.
But I think something that I have really appreciated about it is the ability to be generous with your people.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Exactly.
When did fitness come into the picture for you?
So fitness came into the picture when I moved to the Lower 48. You know, I was just like broken, right? And I think for me, I told myself that I was going to give myself, a year. I was like, okay, I'm not going to date. I'm going to be celibate. I'm just going to focus on me for a year. And then after a year, if I want to start dating again, great. But during that year, I really just like dated myself and I really focused like on my mental well-being. And I needed that. You know, I really needed to date myself and like be alone in my thoughts. I guess it's similar to journaling, right? Like I love to journal here and there, but I love to just get lost in my thoughts and just Christian calls me a psychopath sometimes, but because I'll drive with no music on and I just think about like my day, like, okay, these are like the wins and these are things that I need to work on or just things that I'm grateful for. It's like almost like journaling in
your
head.
It's like a meditation. Yeah.
It's like a meditation. And I really learned that during that year that I really just spent on my own in my thoughts. And during that time, you know, I was dating myself, but I was also indulging in quite a bit of food.
You're like, I was taking care of myself.
I was taking care of myself and mentally, but I would say with eating, I did turn to food just for comfort. And I know you have a similar story with that too, right? And it's just partly it's turning to food as comfort. And then also I just wasn't used to so much good food in Texas. So that was definitely part of it. Cause in North Pole, it's like, we got like a Wendy's, McDonald's. In Texas, you got Texas barbecue. You have, I mean, Sonic was like a big one for me. I live right next to Sonic and I loved Sonic. So it's like being able to try all these different foods was exciting.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, you know, growing up, it's like I ate a lot of home-cooked meals. You know, it's really expensive to go out to eat to restaurants, especially with 6 kids. So a lot of our food was like family meals. And so just going to a drive-thru, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many different options.
A luxury.
So partly it was turning to food as comfort just because I was struggling mentally. And then secondly, it was just having fun trying out all these foods. So I gained quite a bit of weight and it was a short amount of time. I wasn't, you know, I don't even want to say overweight. I don't like to say that word because at the time, I don't think I was overweight. I just think that I put on a good amount of weight. Like I think it was at least 30 pounds. I remember I get on the scale and I was like, oh. And I realized like having to go up quite a few sizes, that was just a part of it. I think I felt so sluggish and I felt exhausted. And, you know, I was putting myself through school at the time too. So I just felt drained. Like the food that I was eating was making me slower and it was making me feel just not good about myself. And then I just knew I needed to change. So,
I love that you bring up the internal piece of gaining weight because I think a lot of people with my before and after think that I was just like physically unhappy with the way I looked. I felt awful.
Yes. Yeah. Cause it's, that's such an important thing. And I always tell people that when they're like, oh, when you're overweight. And I'm like, I don't like to say like I was overweight because I don't exactly know if, you know, like I'm sure a doctor would have been like, you need to lose a little bit of weight. But for me, it was more of how I felt, mm-hmm. you know, and especially like working, I think in Texas, I was working like 3 jobs and I was going to school. So it's like I needed as much energy as I could. And the food was almost like slowing me down, making me feel sluggish, making me feel tired. Like I just looked tired. And I could see it in my hair too. Like I could just see it everywhere. So yeah, then I was like, I hate the gym. And I used to go to weightlifting in high school because they had a weightlifting class that they put me in. And I was like, you want me to pick up that 45-pound bar? Absolutely not. So I used to skip that class so much. And my teacher now makes fun of me. He's like, that's your whole life now. And you skip my class.
Buff Bunny, what are you doing?
Yeah, like at least like once a week I would skip this class. I hated it. So yeah, so then I started going to the gym and I told myself, I gave myself realistic expectations. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, don't start eating tilapia and broccoli and don't start going to the gym every day. You're going to set yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. And then mentally, it's just going to mess with you. So for me, I was like, if I give it my all to the gym today, I don't have to come back tomorrow. And that really helped push me because I didn't want to be there. I hated it. And so I started going to the gym for a while and I was, you know, doing treadmills and trying to figure things out. I like the idea of weightlifting because I had some friends that did it and I would watch them. But at the time, you know, I would see guys doing it and a lot of guys were giving me advice. And I was like, you know, back then I was like, I don't want to get bulky. I don't want to look like a man. I don't want to gain weight. I don't want to do this. So eventually I started going to CrossFit. And CrossFit for me was amazing because, you know, I went with a guy friend of mine and he was, I think he was like a little over 500 pounds. Like he was, you know, and it wasn't muscle. So he came to me and said, my doctor said, if I don't start doing something about my weight, I'm going to, you know, die at an early age. And he was like, I want to go to CrossFit. And I was like, Carlos, you're wild. You want to go to CrossFit? I was like, I barely, you know, I can't really, like, and CrossFit intimidated me.
It's a lot. It's scary. Yeah.
And there I was, like, doing what I could for weightlifting in the gym, doing the treadmill. I was like, you want to go to CrossFit? You're wild. But we went, and it was really cool because we both transformed during that time. Like, wow. He's lost hundreds of pounds now. He's a CrossFit coach now. Like, I'm just so happy for him.
Stop.
Yeah, it was just really cool to see him transform. But we both went, and I remember, like, there I was like, I'm just here to support him. I don't know what I'm doing here. But they would do things like instead of box jumps, they would bring him a 45-pound plate and just say, hey, just step on it and step back down. They made me do the box jumps. I was like, I'm going to do that over there. But it was cool because they would alter the workouts and like kind of help us with form. I think CrossFit gets a bad rep. But at the time, I think it was something that we both needed, which was a community. They were cheering us on, like teaching us like paleo and like all these things. And it was really cool but eventually, like, I mean, I couldn't afford the membership. I think it was like $150 a month. Like, they kind of gave us a deal in the beginning, but I learned what I could. And then eventually I started doing, and I saw crazy transformations in my body during CrossFit because, you know, you go in there, you do the workout and you go home. Carlos was seeing incredible transformations. And then I decided, I was like, you know, I think it was like the whole fad, you know, when everyone was doing the bikini competitions and people were like really into it. And
2017,
like, 16. Yes. Mm-hmm. This was, yeah, I think it was 2014 when I did my first show. It was like end of 2014.
That was your first show.
That was my first show. Yeah. Wow. And for me, I was like, okay, like I'm so happy with my body right now, but I'd never had a 6-pack. And at CrossFit, I remember seeing this girl, like, I mean, she was sweaty and you could see her 6-pack through her shirt. And me and Carlos were like, whoa. We're like, how did you get those? She's like, eating paleo. And I was like, so we're just like, all right, let's start eating paleo. So it was really cool to like learn what we did in the beginning.
The CrossFit girls are jacked.
They are jacked.
No, they look amazing.
Wild. Yeah. And so I was like, I want abs. But, and as much as I did CrossFit and paleo, and I mean, I didn't do it perfectly. I was like, I can't drink and I can't like eat. I don't think they could eat carbs. I can't remember.
It's just potato. It's like, right. Anything from like the earth.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. I don't think they were about rice and oatmeal, and your girl loves rice. Oh, I love all the things. So yeah, I stopped doing paleo. But I think for me, the 90-day, they had something where it's like, okay, go 30 days eating paleo, do 90. I did my best, but mm-hmm. I definitely didn't stick to all the rules. I think for me, it was learning the different, like how to eat correctly, how to eat things that are natural versus a bunch of processed foods.
Yeah.
And at the time I was in college, I was taking science of nutrition, anatomy and physiology, and I was taking a lot of science classes. So they kind of coincided and I was learning a lot at the time. And it was fun. Like the more I learned, the more obsessed I got. And I started really falling in love with fitness, with mainly CrossFit, I would say. Definitely made me really appreciate the human body. And but then after that, doing a competition, it was more so to see if I could get a six pack. And you know, people are like, oh, was it, what made you want to do it? And I was like, I just want a six pack.
I love the honesty, truly.
Yeah. I was like, I would see these girls with these six packs. I was like, I don't think I can do that, mm-hmm. but I would like to try.
Yeah.
You know, and doing the competition, I'm glad I did it. Although when people are like, you know, iffy about it, I'm like, don't do it if you're not mentally strong. If you struggle with any type of eating disorders or struggle mentally, can be really hard on you, for sure. And I had definitely some weak points, but I think for me, I was like, let me just see if I can get a six pack. And doing the competition, I would say I definitely learned a lot about myself. And one of the coolest things I think that I learned that I still carry to this day is boundaries. Huh. I really learned to say no to people, because when you're doing a competition, you don't have a choice. It's like you have to work out. You have to meal prep. You have to do these things. And you're showing up for yourself. Mm. So when friends were like, I want to go out, or like, I want to go drink, or I want to go do these things, I was like, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to work out. So it really taught me, I guess, as a people pleaser and someone that loves people, it really helped me learn how to set boundaries for myself and say, no, I have to do this for me. Like, no, I have to go home and meal prep. And to them, they're like, oh, just, you know, grab something at Starbucks. It's like, eh, it doesn't work that way.
No, so important and such a good point, because the bodybuilding competitions like got a bad rap for a while. Mm-hmm. But I feel like putting yourself through that mental test, everyone takes something different from it. Like
yes.
For me, on my weight loss journey, I had to say no and even cut some people out of my life who weren't encouraging me on this like healthy moment I was on. Mm-hmm. And I think that boundary setting is such an important piece of the puzzle. And even if you competed twice and took that from it, it's so worth it.
Oh, definitely. And it's definitely hard to transition, because yeah, you're right. Like having to say no to people. Was it people that were just not as uplifting and they were trying to...
Like drinking buddies.
Yeah,
drinking buddies. Because I was such a party girl back in the day. I had to like let that go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely had some partying friends. And it was hard because I was like, oh, I love you so much. But like I'm going to love you from afar.
Yeah.
And that's something, and that's a boundary, you know, and it's really good to be able to learn those things, is to love someone, but love them from afar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to spend every single weekend with them. You can cheer them on, but also be working on yourself during that time.
When did you start documenting? Like, when did you pick up the vlog camera?
Let's see. I think I was definitely doing CrossFit, and then also doing like my own, you know, workouts, because while I was doing CrossFit, it made me be more comfortable to go to the gym to learn. And I was also like researching online. I think at the time it was like bodybuilding.com was like huge. Yeah. So like you could find people's workouts on there. So just learning, I think a lot of research, learning and putting myself through different workouts. I definitely felt more comfortable, and doing the vlogging for me, it was more like I was doing Instagram at the time, and this is going to show my age, but we didn't have videos on Instagram when I first started YouTube. It was just photos.
Yeah.
And people would ask me questions like, hey, like, how do you do this movement? And me trying to comment to explain to someone, I mean, you can to a certain extent, but I'm a visual person.
Mm-hmm.
So visually, it's great to be able to show people, hey, this is how I do a proper squat, this is how I do a proper deadlift. And trying to teach that in a comment is so hard.
Or like a step-by-step photo. Like,
yeah. Like try to stay away. You know, have you been seeing those trends, which I love seeing? It's like, instead of doing a squat like this, like boom.
And yeah.
Those are so great for beginners, because sometimes they don't realize it's like one little tweak that they're doing. So I did not really want to do YouTube, but I had a friend and he was so sweet. And he was like always pushing me to do YouTube. And we're still actually really good friends to this day. he was like, Heidi, why don't you do YouTube? And I was like, I don't know. I'm so shy. I don't want to talk to the camera. I'm such an awkward, like, ah. And he was like, I was going to Pittsburgh for work. And he was like, if you come, I'm going to follow you around with the camera the whole time. And I was like, okay. So he really helped, like, get me out of my shell a little bit and just start documenting. And once I started doing that, it was really different with people. Like, they were just like, this is so helpful. So I told myself for YouTube, I was like, I'm going to show the things that I wish someone would have showed me when I started. Mm-hmm. You know, back, I was thinking to myself, back when I started, when I was, you know, getting stuff from guys that were, getting advice from guys that were telling me, oh, you got to, you know, train your shoulders, you got to train your legs, you got to do this, you got to carb up. I was like, I'm going to give the advice that I wish someone would have gave me at that point. So, and people could see that I was just sharing videos. I was very much still in school. I was working multiple jobs. I was doing YouTube. I was like, I'm just doing this for the girl that's out there that was me at that time. So mm-hmm. I wasn't doing it as a career by any means. I was just, and you have a similar story too, right? You were just sharing things. It's like you weren't trying to grow a social media following or anything like that.
It's like you have this passion. And yeah. then I felt like I had this like secret that I was like, oh, no one knows about this. I got to share it. Like, yeah. you want to, like, help other people. And I feel like that's how the best careers start, is from a place of passion and true purpose.
Yes. It's like you have this inside of you. You just, I got to let it out. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have known this. I have to share it.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what I felt at the time. I was like, man, this is such a great workout. Like, I got to show this other alteration of a hip thrust. I remember... I don't know if people still do it. Every once in a while, I still do. But you know the leg extension machine?
Yeah.
I remember if you didn't have access to a hip thrust, I remember sharing that on YouTube way back in the day. And girls were like,
oh. No, you just unlocked a memory for me. I remember you doing that and being like, oh, shoot. Because I was so embarrassed to like set up a full bar back in the day at Planet Fitness. And I remember you doing that.
Yeah, and it's like crazy. Sometimes people don't have access to that. Like, they might have an apartment gym. And again, I would just see the comments from people. They were like, I don't have a barbell. I don't have this. And I was like, hey, here's another variation of it. So I just enjoyed, like, giving what I could. I guess it's like a people pleaser. And it's not like I was trying to people please. I was like, my love language is acts of service. And so I love to give and I love to service people any way I can, specifically women. Like, it's like, hey, how can I make this easier for you, better for you? And that's kind of what drove me.
And that's so apparent too in the way that you run your brand, by the way.
Thank you.
And that shows through everything you do.
Thank you. I love to listen to women and be able to like apply that.
Yeah. What was that era of fitness like? Like the expos, the lines, the fans, like you were kind of the epicenter of that period of time.
It was definitely wild.
Like, as a shy person, like, how did you handle that? Because I remember seeing, like, these expos where you're surrounded by people.
Yeah, it was definitely, I think, the first time. I remember when you're just posting on social media, you know, and you see people commenting, it's different than seeing people in real life.
100%.
And I remember being at the LA Fit Expo, and a friend, like, had a clothing company. I was just going there to, like, help them sell some stuff, right? He was like, hey, can you help me, you know, sell some t-shirts and whatnot? I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And I remember like all these, and I was like, hey guys, I'm going to be at this booth if anyone wants to like pick up a t-shirt. And I remember just getting like all these girls like show up and they're so excited. I didn't sell one t-shirt. I mean, they were selling t-shirts, but I was like, oh my gosh, it was so cool. I remember being just like taken aback because again, as someone that was like more on the shy side, homeschooled, all of that, it was still overwhelming. But it was really cool because these women were coming up and they're like, I've lost so much weight because of your videos. I have like changed my life because of your videos, like whether it was mindset or nutrition. And I'll never forget like one girl at an expo. She had waited so long and she was like, I just came here to say thank you because I lost, it was like over 100 pounds, like watching your videos. And because of that, like it changed my family's life. And to me, I was like, that is so cool.
That's okay.
I don't know why I'm emotional today.
I wish I could give you a hug. I'm so far away from you.
No, it's okay. You're fine. Air hug. I guess when you... give me a second. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I think just... when you upload videos, you don't realize like it changes. It's, I guess, back to that domino effect thing, right? I'm just going to take a sip of water.
Please, take your time. Take your time. It hits when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we don't stop and think about it that often.
We don't. You know, it's like whenever you have those moments, like, you think, like, you're just uploading meal prep videos, but someone seeing a meal prep video or like a workout or just like a diet tip, it's like it changed them. But then you forget, like, maybe it's because I'm excited to be a mom, but it's like it changes their kids. And I guess I've talked to like other moms where it's like they're just, they want to like show up for their kids. And like, that's, to me, that's so cool. It's like, to help a mom just be more like active and just be able to like help them show up for their kids more. It's like, I guess to me, that's probably stayed with me.
Gosh, no, it's a really special connection to meet someone in person and look them in the eyes and hear. It's like mind blowing, especially for the first time that it happens. It's like, oh my gosh, my journey had an impact on your journey and your journey had an impact on your kid's journey. And I mean, just sitting with you now is so surreal to me. My husband texted me and he was like, 22-year-old, you would freak the frick out right now. Sitting with Heidi Summers, like you changed the trajectory of my life. You've changed the trajectory of so many women's lives. And now what you're doing with Buff Bunny Collection. I mean, it's crazy.
It's so wild.
No, it's crazy to think about. And you and I are in a similar phase of life right now. I hope it's okay if I say that.
Oh, yeah.
Like no, wanting absolutely. To have kids and being in our fertile era. But yeah. I get emotional thinking about the type of mom I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing the way that moms are so freaking cool.
They're so cool. And it's like they have so much on their plate and things that they're juggling. And like it's crazy to think of like, you create a human and then you like shape that human for like their whole life. It's
insane.
Wild.
Insane. Yeah. And I have this thing where I'm like, I want to be so good at it and do such a good job.
Yeah, me too.
Oh man, I'm excited about it. I'm nervous and excited. You know?
Oh my gosh, I hope we get pregnant around the same time.
Would it be amazing?
We can text each other and be like, is this normal? Or like, I'm craving pickles. What do I do? Or
dude, I know. You know who I've been DMing a ton?
Who?
Courtney King.
Oh, she is so sweet.
She's the cutest pregnant person.
She is, and she's just such a wonderful human.
I've been texting her about, like, fertility questions, and she's sent me these voice notes that just, like, answers everything that I have. Because it's confusing.
Yeah, like, there's so much out there.
Am I having sex at the right time? Am I doing the right things? Like, there's all these, like, myths and...
There is.
The ovulation strips and... Are you doing natural cycles?
Right now, so... I think Christian's kind of talked about this a little bit. So actually, like, I'm supposedly okay to, like, have babies. But I think for him, he's been struggling with his swimmers a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, which I think he's talked about in some of his YouTube videos. But he's kind of the going through it's sometimes people think it's, like, the woman, which happens a lot, you know. But it's also sometimes it can be the guy. And so he's kind of going through the process of, you know, making sure that his – swimmers are good to go.
And all those things. I love that you're using the word swimmers. No, Greg and I had the same, like, journey. We both went and got tested for fertility. And we're both, like, because, you know, in the fitness industry, that can be a problem. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like the more you work out, kind of the harder it is to get pregnant is what I've heard. So
sometimes it's, like, the more lean you are, too, it's harder to get pregnant.
So we're bulking right now.
Yep. We're bulking right
now. Let's go. Let's go. I'm going to Alpha Eats off today.
We're going to do some Texas barbecue and eat all the... Have you had Shipley's yet?
What is that?
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, we have to get it after the workout, but it is the best donuts that you'll ever have.
I forgot that you love donuts.
Oh, I love donuts. I'm a creature of habit. Yeah, I realized...
You've always loved donuts.
I've always loved donuts. People used to bring them to me at expos. It's so funny because people are like, you probably shouldn't eat those. So I was like, what do you mean? I'm just eating them all. I'm like, my girls would never poison me, you know? And I definitely ate most of those donuts that people would bring at expos.
I didn't think about the poison piece.
Me neither.
Would never.
People would never. Our girls would never do that.
Girls would never.
If it was a guy that gave me a donut, I'd be like,
I would never.
I'd probably question a little bit of it. Like,
100%. I don't think I've ever had a guy show up to a meet and greet for me.
I
Maybe one or two.
Until I started dating Christian. And then I would have, but you, I could tell. They'd come up and be like, is Christian here?
I remember when you guys started dating and it was like this, like, because you were kind of keeping it a secret for a little bit.
Yeah.
It was this major moment in the fitness industry because it was like these two icons coming together. And I remember freaking out. But it was like, it felt so perfect too.
Yeah, like it's funny because when we first started dating, like I was definitely not in the headspace to start dating. I was like, no, absolutely not. But he tried, and he's like, when people are like, who was trying? He was like, I was trying very hard because I was very much like not shutting him down, but I was very much like not engaging in conversations. Like he would. Yeah, I remember him calling me one day. I was like, why is Christian Guzman calling me? Because like he heard, because we had mutual friends, so he heard I was single. And I guess like back in the day, you had to like make breakup videos. And I didn't want to do that. I was so not looking forward to that. I was like, maybe I just like sweep it under a rug. So it's like, although I was single, like the public didn't know that I was single, but he knew because mutual friends. So I remember he was just so like, he randomly calls me. And I remember I was with my like part-time assistant at the time. She's like, why is Christian calling? I was like, I don't know. And I remember I put on speaker too so she could hear, and we're like, hello? And he was like, hey, you know, I was just wondering if you ever wanted to use my videographer. I have one, you know, for like Buff Bunny Collection or for you. And I was like,
so nice of you.
Thank you. Okay, bye. he was so awkward. Like he was, but you know, he is like an awkward human, like as he is, but I love that about him. But then he would like text me and just like really try. And I was just like, nah. But I remember when he scheduled a whole day. He was like, hey, why don't you stay in New York an extra day? Because we were there for work. And
I'm dying that I know this full story.
Yeah, you know this full story.
I'm such a creepy weirdo. Like, I love this. You guys had a date in New York the whole day.
Yeah, he planned the whole day. It was so cute. And I was like, wow. Like, he really went above and beyond to just, like, make sure the whole day was perfect. And so, I mean, it's so hard not to like fall for someone that like goes above and beyond. And like, it was so nice being able to talk business with him.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, like in my previous relationship, you know, like he wasn't business minded. So it was a hard time connecting sometimes when like the other person's not interested in business. And then, you know, then I was single, then dating Christian, you know, he was like, what suppliers are you using? Have you thought of it? It's like I was learning from him and
it's fun.
It was attractive. Yeah. I was like, mm-hmm. This is fun. Like we have so much to talk about. Like we just talk all day long. And like there's just so much to talk about. Whether it's like we also like the same music. It's just everything kind of like aligned.
Yeah.
But you know, when you first start dating someone, it's like you don't post about it right away. Like even if you have a social media following or not, it's like you kind of go through that talking phase. I guess nowadays it's like the talking phase. Then you're dating. Then like you become Instagram official or Facebook, then people post like their person, right?
Yeah.
For us, it's like we didn't really have that. It's like, I think our first time, like we weren't even like on a date yet. I think we were in Austin and there was like 9 of us that all went. And I mean, he was definitely very flirty, but it wasn't like a date or anything. And someone had taken a Snapchat story. And so the rumors come in, you know, and I was like, I am not dating anyone. But then a couple weeks later, you know, he was like, let's go on a date. And so, and then in there, it's like we were walking around New York and there was a few times people stopped us and were like, oh my gosh, Christian or Heidi. And I was like, we'd like jump apart.
Stop. You're like full-blown like, celebrities.
Yeah, no, paparazzi. No, not celebrity. But they were just like, hey, I follow your YouTube. Yeah. Like, wait, who?
What? What? What?
And we were like, and they'd be like, oh, can we take a pic? We're like, yeah, but like.
Separately.
Separately. Like, we're just trying to have a first date, you know. So that it was funny. We laugh about it now because that was, 7 years ago. It was so long ago. But
and now you're married.
And now we're married.
Your Alaska moment.
It was so fun.
Came on my feed and I was like, oh my gosh. So special.
Yeah. We just did something with like family only. We were like, you know, like life is short and we wanted to get married December because that was like our anniversary month. So we were like, well, we can't sign the papers in the Caymans because it's, you know, not on U.S. soil. It has to be on American soil. So we were like, let's do it in Alaska and make it an event. It was 20 below.
Stop.
And my dress was basically mesh and beads. It was.
Yeah. How did that go down? Like, what happened with the dress?
Oh, it was really cold. But it was, this is very much me. It was like 10 days before I went to Alaska. I was like, I want a black dress.
Amazing.
And so I contacted a few people and I was like, can we get a black wedding dress? And they were like, this has to be handmade because of, it's a black wedding dress. Like, you can't just like buy one online. And I was looking for one and I was like, man, I want like over the top, very drama. So yeah, they had a dress made in about 10 days. Yeah, smart. It was wild.
It was iconic with the Alaska backdrop. It just was like a moment.
It was just beautiful.
And very you.
Yeah, just over the top drama, a little bit different. Not like a tip. Everyone's like, why didn't you do white? And I was like, well, white would blend in. And like, I wanted it to be like my backyard growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I want the backyard. And I was like, what other dress could I do besides white? You know, white will blend in. And I was like, black. That's my second favorite color.
Slay. And then in the Caymans?
Yeah. So we're going to have like our main wedding, still small-ish. And then on the beach, because that's where like our favorite place in the world. And that's where we told each other we loved each other for the first time. So we're like, let's definitely have a beach wedding. And for us, it's like, I'm putting more of the budget towards like flying my family there.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want to be able to like fly my family there, like get them in a like nice, I want to like give them a vacation, you know? And so I've been telling everyone like, it's for the wedding, but it's like just so we can give both of our families like a good vacation.
That's exactly what we did. Exactly. We had a beach wedding. Mm-hmm. I flew everyone in, put them up in the hotel. Yeah. A lot of the budget will go for that. But when are you ever going to have everyone in one place on a vacation?
Exactly.
You know?
One time in your life.
It's such a special memory.
Yeah.
I was not a wedding gal. And I really was pretty chill about my wedding. And I'm so glad that I did it. Because it has been such a special memory for me.
Yeah.
Barefoot on the beach.
Oh, that's
dancing
amazing.
The whole night. You're going to have the best time.
Yes.
I'm so excited for you.
I'm excited. Like, I definitely wasn't, I've never, if anything, I wish I would have had like some sort of bridal mood board. You know how like, because some of my girlfriends, like they've been doing it since they were young.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about it until literally I had a ring on my finger and I was like, I don't know what I want.
No, I literally went on Pinterest and I was like, weddings?
Okay, yeah, I was like, no, I was like, I was like Googling things and I looked at it, I was like, man, I'm behind. So then I was calling my girlfriends, I'm like, where do I start? I'm sure you too, we've been in business mode for so long and it's like, that's
masculine
where we're passionate.
Era.
Yeah, and I was like,
I can make leggings.
Yeah, I was like, I can make a good pair of leggings and a bra, but I didn't even know what type of ring I wanted.
Yeah. Same. Did you go with emeralds?
Yes. It's like a longer square.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Emerald cut. Yes. But it's funny because my friend Taylor was asking me, like, shout out to Taylor. She's a good friend. Because Christian was like, what do you want? Like, you know, years ago. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe something that's like simple with like a diamond on it, you know? Solitaire, right?
A diamond would be nice.
Technically, this is solitaire, right? When it's just one diamond.
Oh, I don't know, actually. I'm not good at it either. My friend Celeste is like the diamond queen.
Your ring is beautiful. Wow.
Thank you. I recently actually got a new one. And I put the old one. Yeah. Yours is stunning too.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Let me see yours.
That is beautiful. It's honestly really similar with the longer square, which is emerald cut.
Yeah, I didn't know either. So I had to like drill my friend and be like, what do I want?
Yeah, same. I was like, I don't know what I want. Like, It's there's so many different cuts, there's so many different shapes.
And you wear it every day.
Yeah, and you wear it every day. So,
Taylor is Max's
what?
Fiance.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, and she works for a diamond company. So it worked out. And she knows, like, she's such a great stylist. She knows my style, which is like simple, timeless. Mm. Like, when I wear anything outside of gym clothes. Like, she knows my vibe, so she definitely helped with the ring a lot. But, you know, when she was asking me, she was like, you know, what is your favorite rings? You know, and she was telling me hers. I was like, and she was showing me all these different ones. And she was like, you know, we're just having, like, the girl talk. I was like, I don't even know. I thought I liked round, but maybe I don't like round. And then, you know, maybe I like square, but I don't know. Like, it's overwhelming. So,
yeah.
I would say if I could, you know, go back, I'd probably start a Pinterest board a little sooner.
Yeah, same. But it's okay. It happens the way it's supposed to. And you can always, like, I might do a renewal. Who knows?
Yeah, do, like, a renewal at your, like, 10, 25-year, 5-year, like, whatever you want. But yeah, wedding stuff is overwhelming.
Are you going to do the white dress in the Caymans?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, and honestly, Taylor helped with that, too. I tried on, like, 5 dresses, and the 5th one was, like, it. And I was like,
stop.
Yeah, so she had set, I think, a whole day of me trying on dress at all these shops. First shop, 5th dress, was like, this is it. And it was something that I wouldn't normally gravitate towards.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So Taylor was like, try this on. I was like, okay. I was like, this is it. And I was like, cool, done. And so, Yeah. Did it take you a while to, how was that process for you?
No, I went with the first one I tried.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like,
that's cool.
I look back and I'm like, Mari, you should have tried at least like a couple more. But I went with this like super comfortable Grace Loves Lace.
I saw it. It's beautiful.
It's like almost legging material. Like I literally found gym.
Stop.
It's stretchy. And I was okay, barefoot.
I was wondering about that because I was like, it looked like it shaped your body really nice. And I had like, a little a lot of alterations.
Shapewear underneath.
Ooh, yeah, smart.
It was very comfortable. I mean, looking back, like I do wish I had a little more of a drama moment. And then I also changed into sweats midway through my wedding.
Stop. Okay, I'm thinking about that.
White sweats and Jordans. And I just danced in
I
that
thought
outfit.
About combat boots.
Slay. Do whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah, combat boots are usually my go-to. I was like, I'm not wearing
combat
boots.
What about
boots
like a
today,
custom Buff Bunny like white moment? You know what I mean?
Oh, you're right. Ooh, okay. This is the things that my team hates where I'm like, last minute, I'm like, can we make like a wedding
like legging a veil
outfit? Yeah.
Okay, wait. Speaking of Buff Bunny collection, talk about the vision when you started Buff Bunny collection and like where it is now, the journey of Buff Bunny collection.
Okay, let's see the journey of Buff Bunny collection. I think, you know, doing YouTube, you know, like a lot of YouTubers will end up doing merch. They'll just be like,
Heidi
like,
Summers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I didn't want to do like my name on it. I was like, what's something else that I could do? And my Instagram name was Buff Bunny. So I was like, I'm going to do like Buff Bunny collection shirts. And because to me, like the word Buff Bunny was like this masculine side. When I would think of buff, this at the time, it's like, okay, it's like buff is like that masculine side and bunny is like that feminine, soft, you know, side. And so Buff Bunny to me was kind of like, I have both of those. You know, I can be super, you know, girly and cute and like feminine and nurturing, but I also have like this like alpha side, you know? Mm-hmm. So doing the word Buff Bunny, it wasn't like people were wearing my name. It's kind of like the woman that resonated with that. It's kind of like they have that alpha energy and also that feminine energy, if you will. It's kind of like both of them together. Mm-hmm. And so making the t-shirts, I think I have a video somewhere. I was trying to save money. Again, like I don't like taking out loans or I like to try to find the most cost-effective things but the best quality. I was like, okay, I'm going to make merch. And so I bought Bella Canvas shirts and I bought a screen printing machine.
Where did you find that?
Oh, gosh, somewhere on Google. And it was like you had to make your own screens, which is so hard. I still have the screens, though.
Stop.
Never ended up using them, thank
God. Oh, you should frame them.
I know. I should put them somewhere in my future headquarters. I'm definitely going to do that, like put them somewhere. But then I tried screen printing it. And it's not a machine. It's like your hand doing it. So I made some handmade ones and I was like, I got to make 200 of these. And I was prepping for a show. So I remember like just the energy of doing those. I was like, I can't do this. So then I found a screen printing company locally. And I had, you know, I did the first order that way. I'm going to have to look back on Shopify to see how many. I think there was like a couple hundred t-shirts that I made. They sold out real quick. And I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I thought this would last like, I don't know, 6 months or something. And I also was unsure. I was like, you know, I'm very proud of these, but I don't know if people want to buy something that, you know, resonates with me. Mm. So I did the merch, sold out, and I was like, crazy. So then I was doing restocks and, you know, bringing them back. And I remember just being so, just so picky with every little, you know, piece of the things. I wanted this puff print. And so I wanted like a raised print. I remember they messed up the order and I made them like redo it. I was like, no, I want them. I need this to be like what I envisioned. And what else was I picky with? Oh, just the photo shoot. I wanted them presented in a beautiful way. So actually like I flew to California for one day to go shoot with this photographer and like it was worth it because I had the shoot done locally and the photos were so bad. I was like, oh, I can't use these. I was like, they're so bad. So I flew to LA, had a photographer do them that I loved, flew back in the same day just so I could have those images in time.
Wow.
For the launch. Cause I was like,
so wild. Cause I feel like you are kind of known for your shoots now.
Yeah.
Like your campaigns and your shoots are just so iconic.
Yeah. We're definitely like over the top drama.
Love.
And that kind of developed over time. You know, I didn't have that in the beginning. You know, when I first launched Buff Bunny Collection, it was just like, hey, here's some t-shirts with a name on it. And that's like, you know, what we say is just start. It's like, just start. If you have a great product, just start and things will develop over time.
Yeah.
The campaign videos we didn't start doing until I think 2 years in. And then now, like once we started doing them, you know, people expect it now. It's like, okay, we can't really go back from that. But yeah, I did the t-shirts. And while I was doing the t-shirts, people were like, Heidi, we want leggings. We want joggers. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. Because I would see other like influencers, they would do like the print on demand leggings. And I was like, those are so not cute. I can't. I refuse to do them. I was like,
it was like the Alibaba legging with just like a print on it.
Oh, not even Alibaba. It was like the ones, I don't know if it was with Bella Canvas or what it was, but it was like the ones where it's like a skinny little band at the top.
Yeah.
No support for the stomach. I was like, I just can't do that.
Mm-mm.
And it's funny because I had like a part-time assistant at the time and she was like, and this is why you should always trust your gut. Love her. And she was really helpful in a lot of ways. But she's like, why not just do it? Like, people buy it anyway. And I was like, because I want like the products that I make to be masterpieces. And mm-hmm. I've always stuck to that. I was like, I want to make a masterpiece or nothing at all. I will cancel a whole product if I need to, even if it's like money loss on me, if it's not a masterpiece. And I've really stuck by that since I started because I don't want to give anything to any woman that I personally wouldn't be proud of and I wouldn't wear.
Yeah.
So reaching out to like manufacturers like online, like that was a whole other process. Like, oh my gosh, like I tried out, I think 10, maybe 15 manufacturers and really tested out their quality, the stitching, the different fabrics. And I was learning along the way too. You know, I was like researching like different textiles. I did not go to school for fashion or business. Mm-hmm. I was a science nerd. I was like heavy, like science club, science nerd. I love science. I love math, but anything business related bored me.
Yeah.
Anything business or like even fashion, like it interested me, but I didn't have a background in it, but mm-hmm. I loved it. And so my mom has showed me photos of me just like dressing up and cutting up shirts and doing all this crazy stuff. And I was like, okay, I get
started
it.
Started from the beginning.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, like on a personal level, did you find that people weren't taking you seriously at the beginning?
Yes.
I ran into that a lot.
Oh my gosh. I was just talking to a friend about that, another girlfriend. I was like, were there any points where you were looked at differently because you were a woman or because you were just starting? Because both of those together can be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There was a time where one time it was a larger order of shirts were printed incorrectly. And I remember it was like a $10,000 order, I think it was. That's a lot, you know? And that was like a bunch of t-shirts. And I was like, I can't afford for these to be messed up. So I went and my part-time assistant was like, hey, they printed them wrong. I'm going to pay the invoice and go. And I was like, oh no, you do not pay that invoice, you know? And I guess as someone that doesn't come from anything, it's like that fear. It's like, no, you can't. Like as much as you're a people pleaser, you have to protect yourself. And I could tell like the team, they put us in a room and they're like, oh, you know, they're good, you know, but like we can't reprint them because they didn't want to lose on the money. But I had tested these shirts. I had them do like, I spent extra money to make sure they could do this puff print. I wanted this puff print. And, you know, they tested on 14 shirts as like a sampler. I was like, great, now do the rest of them like that. They didn't do that because of communication on their end. And so I remember I had to really put my foot down and I could tell that the way that they were speaking to me, they were just kind of trying to manipulate me a little bit to just accept the order. And when I went back there to look at the different shirts and how they came out, I remember one of the guys looking at me and they were like, this is the owner. And they're like, you're the owner? And I was like, yeah. And he's just kind of like confused. And I remember that was like my first taste of like, oh, because I'm just starting out and I'm a woman. Like, you just know.
You just know the vibe.
You just know.
It happens to me now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the room all the time with a whole bunch of men. Yeah. And you can tell when they're surprised or confused.
Yes.
And it's scary. And I talk about a lot, like, for anyone listening, even if you don't have a business and you're at work maybe around a lot of men, it can be kind of intimidating, especially the way you're spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
Just to encourage women to, like, speak up and voice their opinion and ask questions. It took me a long time to get comfortable with it because I think you get thrown off when you're looked at like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting because a lot of the women are now dominating.
They are. I love it.
I love it too.
I love to see it.
It's a little like, yes.
Yes. Oh, it's so cool. Like whenever, you know, there was just some statistics that came out recently and Christian's like, wow, like more women are owning homes than men now. And
yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, girl, get it. Like, I love to see it, you know? And
it's
cool, like, how independent women have gotten now. And it's like, they still want a man. It's not like they're like, oh, I don't need a man. or I don't want a man ever. It's kind of like they don't need one. They want one. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really cool for women to kind of be able to take control of their lives at times. And I love to see it. But yeah, there's been a few times where I think for me, that was that first instance. And then I think looking for a warehouse space, I remember there was a realtor that was like, you know, I was like, oh, I need this space and this and that. And they were like trying to convince me to go smaller. They were like, I know you want this, but you know, I think you need a smaller space and all these things. And I'm like, what? I grew it out in 6 months. So it's like, I should have gotten a bigger space. So yeah, it can be difficult sometimes.
I think it's that mixture of being a woman and being young. Like this is kind of an unprecedented time where we're like creating massive businesses and working with people who are maybe a lot older than us. And it's like a very, there's no roadmap really. And especially there wasn't for you. How did you push through that doubt?
You know, when situations like that happened, I would say I usually picked my battles, whether I wanted to respond a certain way or I didn't respond a certain way. I think there was one example, and I've only told the story like one time. It's a little juicy tea, but I worked, you know, when you start working with supplement companies or clothing companies, you start getting those sponsorships, right? For me, I took it very seriously, you know, which most creators do. Some don't, you know, and it's like learning lessons. But I worked with a company, they're not around anymore, but I remember, I think I had like 7,000 followers on Instagram. They reached out and I was like, you want to send me supplements? That's so cool. And I love the products. And, you know, at the time, I've always been very honest with my followers on which supplements I promote and which ones I don't. I was like, I will only show ones that I personally take. Everything else, it's like, I don't take it. I don't want to show it, you know? And they were like, yeah, no problem. So I worked with them for a little while. And then the owner, or they sold it to another guy. So a guy took over. And I just like heard some things about the new owner. And for me, it's like I have to not only love the products, but I feel like the team makes a difference. And like your teammates make a difference. And like I feel like you have to have some similar values and things like that as like the owner and where the company's going. And I remember the owner had referenced me as like, and I mean, I was doing online coaching. I had my own personal brand. I was building my YouTube. I had I think I had just taken a pause from school and I was like, I'm gonna take a semester off and really focus on this because I love it. So he referenced me as just a Playboy model.
No.
Yeah. Or sorry, just a porn star. It was something like that. And I was like, excuse me. So I got obviously upset and I was like, it's not worth it to speak to him directly. I'm just gonna go my way. So I was like, hey, you guys owe me a couple, I think it was like $2,000. And as someone like that had just stopped going to school, like $2,000 is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that was a lot. But I was like, keep it. I don't really care for it. I don't want to work with y'all anymore. So they were like, well, actually, we're in a verbal contract with you. And this is where people will try to take advantage of women that are young, women that are starting their own businesses. And they were like, oh, you're in a verbal contract, so no, you actually have to work with us. And we're going to be going to Arnold and you're coming with us. Like, not even like asking me. They were demanding things from me. And I was like, and at this point I had grown, I think I had like 100, 200,000 followers on Instagram. I'm not exactly sure. But apparently they had used me as a bargaining chip when they sold the company, something like that. So, and I didn't know at the time, you know, I was just like, I'm just doing YouTube video. I'm just meal prepping. I'm working out. And
yeah, no one's like giving advice on sponsorship contracts.
Yeah. And no one, you know, people were signing with companies at the time, like around that time, but no one was talking about it. And I wish I would have talked about it at the time.
Yeah.
But what I have done is I learned a lot in that situation. And now I apply with my girls, like my influencers that I work with. If they're like, hey, this company wants to work, I'm like, let me look at the contract. I'll tell you if it's good or not. So I'm very like protective over them. But so they want me to go to Arnold with them. And I was like, no. And I just didn't reply because I was like, I'm not in a contract with them. I was like, what's a verbal contract? But as someone, I was like, I was a science nerd. I didn't know anything about business. So I just didn't reply. And then it was like months later, I think it was like 4 months later, the Arnold was coming around. I wanted to meet my followers. You know, it's like, I love that. And so I went, another company was like, hey, we want to like fly you out and just have you at the expo so you can like meet your followers. And I was like, cool. They're like, no, like it's just for a weekend. Doesn't mean you're going to work with us forever. So this other supplement company flew me out and they were great. Like they were just like, hey, it's just for the weekend. So the other company got upset and they filed a restraining order on me.
Who was this?
Okay.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
They're not around anymore, but it was called...
I'm sure if you treat people that way.
Oh, yeah. They went under pretty quick. But it was... So it was called Biorhythm. So Biorhythm was a company I worked with for a little bit. No one even remembers me with them because...
I don't remember
I think I shared a few things on YouTube and then like... Yeah. Then obviously I didn't work with them for very long. But anyway, they filed a restraining order on me not to be at the expo because they were losing so much money by me not being at their booth. And I was like, wait, you think I'm worth a lot of money?
You're like, thank you.
I'm like, I'm a broke college student. So I'm like, I like barely was able to make it here to the Arnold. You know, it's crazy.
Which is insane that you're making them so much money and they're not treating you accordingly.
Yes. I'm like, you're saying that I'm making you so much money and yet like you're treating me like a piece of meat. I've never felt like a piece of meat so much in this situation because you know, they put a restraining order on me, so I couldn't go. I couldn't be at that booth. It was BPI. Shout out to BPI because they were really wonderful about this whole situation. The owner came over to me. He was like, so you're the drama. I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, I feel so bad. And he was like, no, like what they're doing is not okay. And they nobody yeah, should be treated that way. And so he was like, just have fun at the expo. Just go hang out. And I was like, and I told him, I was like, is it okay if I stand close to the BPI booth because I came here for my people and I'm going to show up for my people and that's all I care about. And he was like, yeah, you just can't be like within like the carpeted area. And I was like, yeah, cool. But they came over, they're taking pictures of me, videos of me from the other company and just kind of like trying to build a case. And I was like, I'm just trying to be here for the people that watch my meal prep videos.
Stop the drama of it all.
Yeah. And then they took it a step further. I went back to, you know, San Antonio and I'm living in like a house that has like one working outlet in the bathroom, like, or one in the kitchen too. It's like I started making money during coaching, but it's like around the time that I started doing it. And it's like, they kind of knew the position I was in. So then I get a knock on my door and I was served a lawsuit for $100,000.
No.
And I was like, the panic that I felt because it's like, oh my gosh, if I want to go to med school, I can't have this on my record. It just doesn't look good. And, you know, they're trying to bully me and put me in a corner. And, you know, I like somewhat hired a lawyer, but again, I couldn't afford him and he knew that. And so he was like, I'm gonna give it to you straight. He was like, this is like, they're bored and they're like trying to push this on you and they're going to keep pushing because they have nothing else to do. They think that they can make $100,000 off you. And you're like, I was like, I'm worth $100,000. I'm like, okay.
You're like, I don't have $100,000, yeah. But I'm worth $100,000.
I was like, where are they
going
to get this $100,000? And in my head, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to take out a loan.
Stop.
For $100,000. So I'm panicking.
Whereas nowadays, you would have been like, ugh, trash.
Yeah. I'm like, LOL, that's cute. Like, now I'm like, that's cute. No. But at the time, you know, they're like, we have a verbal contract. Here's a lawsuit. And as a young woman in business, I was like, what do I do? So I'm Googling and everything. And my lawyer, you know, he was like, this is not my expertise. It's just kind of like a friend person that I like knew of. And he was like, he was helping me out. So he had a call with them. And the company was like, so we're suing for $100,000, but if she works with us again, we'll cancel everything. We'll drop the $100,000 lawsuit. We will, we'll pay her the money that we owe her, all of these things, right? And so my lawyer's like, I want to keep fighting, but it's going to be expensive. And I know you don't really have like the funds to be like fighting this. So what do you want to do? And I was like, hold that thought. I was like, hold my protein. So I pulled a Kim K and I just kind of researched online on verbal contracts.
Became a lawyer.
I basically became my own lawyer. And I was like, but I had to. It's like I couldn't afford a lawyer. I didn't want to have to take out a loan for $100,000. I knew what they were doing was just so
wrong,
especially like for anyone, whether you're a guy, whether you're a girl, but it was just so wrong. So I interviewed some like previous employees. I spoke to some other teammates on the team since like that new owner got brought on, and I kind of built my own case. And then I bluffed him. I was like, I'm going to go make a YouTube video and talk about how you're treating everyone and this and this and this and this. And then the same day, like, they sent me a settlement. They were like, we're going to drop everything. And I was like, cool.
Yes, Heidi.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so I told my lawyer at the time, I was like, yeah, this is what they're doing. He was like, I don't know how you did that, but good job. And then I ended up paying him the $2,000 that I owed the other lawyer. So I was like, eventually, like, over time, he was so sweet. Wow. He waited till I could kind of like afford it. So shout out to him. He was great. But yeah, that was like a situation where I learned a lot, because it's so wrong to do that to people. And now I'm so protective with my girls. I'm like, make sure you don't sign anything unless you're very confident about this. And I kind of like, and obviously I don't charge my girls anything. I'm just like, just let me look it over if they can't afford a lawyer, and I'll show them some things to like look out for.
Pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's in retrospect traumatizing, but
oh yeah,
a great learning lesson.
Great learning lesson.
To take things into your own hands. I mean, yeah, it's really scary. And I remember when I got started, I wanted to sign every sponsorship. I was so excited about, you know, oh my gosh, like all these brands are approaching me, and I never signed with any of them. Luckily, I had my husband in my corner who's very business oriented, and I had him looking out for me, which was so awesome.
So good.
But now that we also have an extensive influencer program, we value those relationships so much.
Yes.
And our Bloom team, like, they are the reason Bloom is where it is. Mm-hmm. It's like 85% women.
We
love
so
our men
cool.
too. It's a lot
same,
of women.
Same. I got a couple guys, but
yeah.
mainly women.
We love
yeah,
our men.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. But we need them. Mm-hmm. Like, they run Bloom, and they're so creative and awesome. And I think that's like, it's important that we talk about that, because there are people out there doing, I mean, but look, they didn't make it.
Exactly. Exactly. You're only going to go so far if you treat people like that. And I think they went under pretty, maybe like a year after, not even. So yeah, wow. It's just, if you have that type of like, those type of values, like, you're not going to get very far. And it's cool that you yourself was an influencer. Now you have your own brand. I have noticed that like influencer-led companies, it's like they treat their influencers so good. Because you know how it is. Like you know how it feels to be treated wrongly and to be treated, you know, positively.
And also just the value of like, if we have influencers who are like moms, students, nurses, if they are taking the time to make beautiful content about my brand, I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so happy that they love the product. And I know Buff Bunny Collection has become this like empire. When I think of Buff Bunny Collection, it's like so welcoming. And you really have this reputation of being for every woman of every, it reminds me a lot of Bloom in like apparel version.
Yes.
How did you get to this place of like really having this beautiful brand mission?
I think it just started when, you know, creating leggings and sports bras and all these pieces, I really thought of like my family. And I was like, okay, I have a lot of sisters, obviously. And I have cousins. And, you know, I have cousins that are like Navajo, cousins that are Black, obviously white. And so I was thinking, I want to see my family represented in the clothing. And then also I have a sister who's extra, extra small. And then I have a sister who's double XL. I actually think she's like down to a large now. She's crushing it. But it's like, I have, you know, family members that are all different shapes and sizes. I have family members from different backgrounds. And I was like, I want to see that in the clothing, you know, because I would hate for a woman to just not see herself, you know, in the clothing. And it's like, you're never going to make everyone happy. And I always warn that with people. I'm like, we try our best to show all different types of women, but there's always going to be like, a woman that maybe you're missing because this person is a yoga girl. She's a redhead. It's like you do your best. And that's all we can do. But I love finding different types of women to just showcase in the brand, and getting all the girls together is so cool, because it's like, we're really careful on who we bring on. It's like, just because someone has a lot of followers doesn't mean we're going to sign them. Mm. We really, you know, get a good vibe. And I've really worked with our influencer team. I'm like, hey, this is how you can tell if someone's buying fake followers or fake likes, because that's the whole thing. And I was like, but also make sure that they're like talking to women. So something that I'm pretty adamant on is like making sure that, you know, the influencers that we're bringing on, make sure that they're like talking to their followers, because that's a whole thing. You know, if someone's just posting, but they're not, you know, you don't have to answer every comment, but I was like, make sure that they're doing like stories, like they're like engaging with the people versus just posting. And there's a difference. And, you know, finding women that are like really truly connected to their following is so special and it's so cool. And those are the women that are usually the ones that just care so deeply and passionately. And then like getting those girls together with our girls is, it's truly like magical. Like we do these content houses sometimes. And it's cool to just watch everyone get along. And like, that's something that they always say is they're like, how do you find all these women that just like, they all vibe together? It doesn't matter their age or their background or their size or this or that. And I'm like, we do a really good vetting process on making sure that, you know, it's like the following is great, but it's like we want women that are like deep, that have a story, that have that connection.
Yeah. It really shows through everything that you do and the mission behind it. And it's beautiful to see, truly.
Thank you.
Do you ever have like a pinch me moment when you think of young Heidi in North Pole, Alaska with your HQ now?
Oh, gosh. I definitely have those moments. Actually, Matt Combs was working on like a My Story video, and it's something I've always wanted to do. It's just like if someone's like, hey, like, who's Heidi Summers or who's Buff Bunny or like, how did this come about? It's easier to just send them like a 13-minute video of being like, hey, this is like a little bit of my story.
And even just for yourself. So special.
Yeah, and just for myself. And it was really cool watching. I think I cried like 3 times. Like, I don't know when we're going to post. He's not quite done with it, but I was like, that was definitely a pinch me moment. I was like, wow. It's just, you know, Matt Comey's so good with his videos,
oh, so
editing.
Good.
Like, he's just incredible.
So good.
But that was definitely like a holy moly, I did that. Like, I did a lot. And I think it's really cool for women to just like celebrate themselves. And like, it's something that I'm working on. Like, I need to do that more, is like celebrate myself and different accomplishments that you've done. Whether you're building a brand or you lost 5 pounds and you're so proud of that 5 pounds, it's like no matter how small or big the accomplishments are, it's like recognizing that and celebrating that.
Yeah.
And it goes a long way, especially with mental health. It's just...
Totally. It can be tough when you are an overachiever or you're moving very quickly to stop and really take it in. I know personally, I'm like, let's keep going. What's next? What's next?
Yeah.
But the moments where you soak it in, like that's what it's about. And really being present and accepting like, this is my reality. And it's okay to celebrate for a moment.
Yeah, just take a minute.
What are your goals now with your personal life, with Buff Bunny Collection? I know you have an app.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot happening. That's what Matt was like, how you doing? How's everything going?
You good?
Yeah, like you good? Luckily, I have phenomenal teams and everything that I do. And I know you have great teams too. And that just goes such a long way. It's like having the teams that can help bring your visions to life and your goals is irreplaceable. It's just incredible. But yeah, so right now I'm planning a wedding.
Excellent.
I'm building a headquarters. I have Buff Bunny Collection that I'm, you know, we're 7 years old and I'm super proud of her. And then I just launched Grounds Fitness app. So that's been a whole thing. And it's like, I have a great team helping me, but, you know, launching a new business like from the ground up again has been definitely fun.
Wild.
But
then, long time coming, I feel like, because your workouts have always been such a key part of you.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do it, but I told myself I wouldn't get into that until Buff Bunny Collection was at a place where I could take a big step back. And that was, I knew hiring a operations director who's now our COO, and then also getting a creative director in there who could like replace me, if you will. But I can still be as hands-on as I want. So he can lead that creative department and then I can like jump in, especially with campaign videos because it's my baby. I was like, I still need to be involved in that. And being able to be as hands-on as I want, but not be, because that was taking up like so many hours. So I knew that operations director and creative director would be a need, and like having that going for a while till I was ready to tackle and bring on another business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so yeah, I think right now is definitely like, I want a baby. That's definitely a big goal of mine. So luckily I have teams helping me with wedding, headquarters, like the companies and everything. And I think something that I'm working on too is like, we're trying to plan for a baby, which we're excited about.
I'm so happy for you guys.
And I'm just like, it terrifies me more than probably the businesses do. I'm like, oh my gosh, a whole human?
A whole human.
A whole human. And you're like shaping them, developing them. Now I'm like constantly thinking, I'm like, okay, like whenever we find our forever home, I'm like, the school district, or do we homeschool?
I know.
And then making sure, I'm like, okay, if we homeschool, making sure they're not as socially awkward as I was. We need to like find children for them to play with. And it's
well,
just
I think you can put them in sports too at like school.
Yes.
You know, I've heard of this. Like,
tell me that.
Right? You can do like a split program.
Yeah.
Greg's interested in that too.
That would be game changing. I think that would help with like social interactions and things like that.
They can do a day with Buff Bunny at work.
Yeah, you can bring your and it's so funny because I'm actually building my headquarters right now, and I'm building it to where I'm like, oh, if I want to bring my baby to work. Although I think long-term goals, like I can kind of do everything I'm doing now remote for the most part. Unless it's like a campaign video or certain photo shoots where I want to be more hands-on. But if when I do go to my office, I probably won't bring my baby. But if I do, I want like an area for the baby.
Love
that. So I'm kind of like building a little cute area for it.
Being intentional about it and manifesting it into reality.
Exactly. Just got to manifest it.
Love.
But yeah. I hope we get pregnant at the same time. So I have a friend.
That would be so fun. Yeah. Everyone I talk to my age, I'm like, thinking about having a baby or what? Like, I'm really just spreading the baby vibes.
It makes it so much more fun because Taylor's engaged right now and we just keep sending each other funny memes. And it's so, it makes it so fun because it'll be some meme that I'm like, this is hilarious. But most of my other friends are like, they might laugh. But like Taylor's like, I'm dying. Like,
you're like going through war together.
Yeah. Like, she'll come up to me at the gym, be like, how's wedding planning? I'm like,
you're like twitching.
Like, same. Yeah, she's twitching too. So it makes it more fun
to
have someone that's going through it with you.
100%.
Yeah.
I keep reaching out to pregnant people. I'm obsessed with pregnant people. Every time I see someone pregnant, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, and Courtney King is so cute. She is just like the cutest human, and she's just so like deep and like meaningful and as her as a person.
Yeah, she's so cute. So I have not met her in person, but I have been voice noting her aggressively.
Yeah.
And I appreciate her help.
Her personality, you just seem like you've known her your whole life, or like, I don't know. She just has like a really special heart, I would say.
There's some really cool people in the fitness industry.
There is.
You being one of them.
You too.
I'm so glad we got to meet today.
Me too. This has been so much fun.
Now it's time for the question I ask every guest. I started this podcast because I believe everyone's pursuit of wellness is different.
Yeah.
What does wellness mean to you?
When I think of wellness, I would think it's a combination of a few things. You know, I don't think it's losing 5 pounds or it's, you know, having a super strict diet regimen or fitness regimen. I think wellness to me is working on your mental health, number one, working on your physical health, and working on what you're passionate about. I think it's like a mixture of a whole few different things, right? So I think when you think of like a dietary plate, you know, those plates that people would put together, like this is where your carbs and your protein and your fat and all that goes. I think wellness is a combination of working on your mental, working on your physical, and working on different character traits, you know, because we can always be evolving. So I would say it's a combination of a few things, but I would say it strongly starts with your mental.
Beautiful answer. I love
it. Thank you.
Heidi, where can everyone find you online? Where can they buy the clothes? Where can they download the app?
You can find me on Instagram, Buff Bunny, also on YouTube, Heidi Summers, and you can check out the clothes, buffbunny.com, and then Grounds Fitness app on the App Store.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Woohoo! Hail
Cheers!
Cheers. Thanks for joining us on the Pursuit of Wellness podcast. To support this show, please rate and review and share with your loved ones. If you want to be reminded of new episodes, click the subscribe button on your preferred podcast or video player. You can sign up for my newsletter to receive my favorites at marilewellen.com. It will be linked in the show notes. This is a Wellness Out Loud production produced by Drake Peterson, Fiona Attucks, and Kelly Kyle. This show is edited by Mike Fry, and our video is recorded by Luis Vargas. You can also watch the full video of each episode on our YouTube channel at Mari Fitness. Love you, pal girls and pal boys. See you next time. The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for individual medical and mental health advice and does not constitute a provider-patient relationship. As always, talk to your doctor or health team.